there. Yeah, but we really never get the intro right. We fuck it up all the time.
You got it right this time. This feels right to me.
Hey, it's playing. We're all good.
It's a podcast, not a cast pod. Hey, Frage, every day she'll make you say, oh my God.
You can leave the water.
How many times have you heard this?
A million.
Who made
but
it?
Teddy Beats. Yes. When you get your, when you take over Fox and Friends, you have got to have Teddy Beats do your intro song.
Even if I don't take over any show, I want to have an intro song.
You're already a rock star.
I would just want a song like that. I wake up in the morning, I'd turn a song like that on.
Your own anthem.
Get out of the shower, have a song.
No problem. I'll hook you up. Teddy right. Beats.
Good to know.
You guys, welcome to the Hey Frage podcast. I am so excited. Cabot Phillips is here, who is a friend. He is also the media director at Campus Reform. We'll talk about what that is. You're a conservative activist. I love that. Everyone just logged off Facebook. So
Hear me out, people.
Our whole audience is gone. And you've also, I was reading this about you, having you as you a guest. You have 100 million views on YouTube.
Yeah, crazy.
That is because the other big claim to fame, this is your second time on this podcast.
It is.
The first time you were on this podcast, you and your brother and sister had gone viral with 24 million views for you guys convinced your sister, who had her wisdom teeth out, that there was a zombie apocalypse.
We did. Convinced her of a lot of things, that her pets were dying, that my family was stranded in Mexico, and all sorts of things. And I get a call, and they say, hey, have you heard of Sarah Hey Frage? And I was like, tell me about it.
Tell me about it.
Let's make it happen. And it was a live one. There was a live audience for that.
Live audience show at DC Improv. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, I run into you at Fox 5 because you're a contributor. Now, what are you? Are you a national contributor with Fox News?
So I am not a contracted employee, but okay. I go on different shows, mainly for Fox News, giving commentary on millennial perspective on current events, mainly talking about the free speech battle going on in America today. But I try
love
to do
it. Who's winning, by the way? Who's winning?
No one wins when it's under attack. That's what we're trying to do. Get it open for everyone, but trying to broaden out, CNN, Headline News, other networks like that to try and get, as big an audience as possible to try and get, more ideas.
Well, look, we're going to cover everything, okay, from Kanye West being number one currently on iTunes. I guess no one canceled him. Everyone's in love with him. But anyway, I want to talk about it all with you because I really respect you. Every time I've seen you, you're always very, I think, sensible, level-headed. And the last time I saw you, we were having a discussion. I think it was actually before the election.
It may have been election night. Or debate night.
Was it election night?
It was one of those. It was either debate night or election night.
Oh, it was debate night. And at the time, though, you were not a Trump supporter.
So I worked for Marco Rubio, the presidential campaign.
Right.
And so there were a lot of hard feelings there, when
sure, because that was the whole little Rubio,
we were
right?
Little Marco.
Little
we
Marco.
Were. And
were you so mad when he said that bullshit? Were you guys, was Marco Rubio so pissed?
See, I can't speak for Marco. I know me personally, I was like, really, this is childish. Come on, it's just name calling. What does this do? And I understand now, that's kind of his stick.
His whole tactic.
Appeal is to kind of have these quick one-liners. So there was definitely some hard feelings at the time where it's like your favorite basketball team loses. You don't want to all of a sudden start cheering for the team that beat you, even if it takes a little time to come around. So I don't agree all the time or disagree all the time. I'm kind of evolving when it comes to
the
Trump
Republican.
And all that. Yeah, we can get into that. I'm more than happy to talk about.
Oh yeah, please. Yeah. Well, everyone comes to this show because I'm so well versed on policy. I'm also fascinated by, I've been caught in the Twitter mob when I went through that whole situation and went viral with the Michael Brown, discussion. You were so nice. You reached out to me and you were basically like, look, ignore all the hate, but I'm fascinated by the Twitter mob. I'm fascinated by, it is this kind of funny thing of is our free speech being under attack? But then at the same time, are we going to tolerate hateful statements? It's hard where is it at?
I think that the tough thing when it comes to dialogue in general is that no one really knows how to disagree with each other anymore. Because
right? Why is that? Why is that? You're in it every day. Why do you think it's so hard?
I think one thing, it's easier to live a life where you don't have to be surrounded by ideas that make you uncomfortable. It's easier to find people, surround yourself with people that are just going to fire you up, because what it does is it validates your opinion.
True.
And so you think, hey, I found this famous person that's speaking out on TV or whatever. I found, you know, this podcaster. I found this author. They agree with me. I must be smart because I hold this belief, and other smart people agree with me. So you just seek out those people. And when you do see people you disagree with, it's easier to discount them than to have to actually process what they're saying and have like a debate with them.
Oh, you're right.
And have a discussion, because that takes work. That takes the possibility you could be wrong. I think Americans as a whole are horrified of being proven wrong. And so, and it's me too.
About
it's every
what?
Person.
About anything? About politics? About policy? What?
About anything. Anything serious mostly. I think polarizing issues for the most part. People don't want to be proven wrong. And if you're going into a debate unwilling to change your mind or unwilling to accept that, hey, I could be proven wrong here, I could lose this debate.
That does suck, yeah.
It sucks. It's going to end with just you name calling and yelling. And that's when you get the Twitter mob going and you get people that, first of all, also social media is a whole new ball game where
it's
people can hide behind their, you know, their anonymous accounts and yell and rile you up and then say things they would never say to your face because they know that, you know, they'd catch a Sarah slap to the face if they said anything to you.
Yeah, right. I was like, I never felt that kind of wrath. I was fucking hiding. I was like, look, I apologize to everybody. What do you guys want?
How long did that last?
Like 2 weeks. 2 weeks.
I've never
I know.
Had anything that like that.
Well, the craziest part was, too, like, I'd spoken to, you know, I'd messaged Michael and his mother, and they were like, look, it's not about race for us. We're really sorry. You know, they also were like, yeah, you know, we just felt like, why are you guys debating our accolade? You know, all that, right? But then it just takes on this whole nother life, and you're like, what do people, like, people want your head. Like, they and that's it.
And did you feel like any of it was feigned outrage, where people wanted to be mad more than they were actually mad? Or they felt like, I need to be mad over this, less than I'm actually mad over this?
Oh, 1,000%. Yeah. Because it came into this, it becomes something like completely, you know, first of all, what drives me nuts, and I am in the media, and this is what drives me bananas about every news outlet, right, is very few of them do any fact-checking. So Huffington Post, Daily Mail run the story. They never call any of us for a fucking quote, ever.
Now this.
You know, so they just now this. They never, they just edit, splice, do whatever they want. And they don't, and like, I'm like, how are you representing yourself as a journalist? You're an entertainer. Like that, you know, that's what it is. And, you know, quite frankly, I think a lot of major news networks do that. They don't really do the fact-checking. And it's all about, okay, let's just, we need a 4 million clicks on our website, what's the thing that's going to, like, fire everyone up?
Yeah. I had that after the March for Our Lives, the gun control march.
Okay.
I was here in D.C., and I was interviewing young people that were attending. I was interviewing parents, all sorts of people. And I was asking, hey, you know, what is it that you're advocating for? What are you out here for? And I found time and time again, people were saying, hey, we want to ban assault weapons. That's what we want. We're lobbying Congress to ban assault weapons. Not to get too into the gun control debate.
Right.
But I went on air, and so they asked me. They said, hey, you know, what did you find? What did people want? I said they wanted to ban assault weapons. And they said, did they know, like, how they wanted to implement that, what that should look like? And I said, no, I think most of the people didn't really know what an assault weapon was. They didn't really know necessarily
because,
what they wanted. And they weren't really sure what action they wanted specifically. They just wanted action. And I said that, and it wasn't to denigrate the people at the protests. It was just to say, hey, there was some people that were calling for laws to be passed, but they didn't necessarily know details on what laws they wanted.
And what happened? Did you get death threats?
I did. I got now this put together a clip, and they're like, here's what Fox News analysts had to say about the March for Our Lives. And they spliced out like a bunch of like 3-second clips of what I said, making it look like I was saying that all these protesters were idiots and these stupid kids and very insensitive looking. And if
sure.
I watched it, I'd be like, that guy's a tool. What a jerk.
I've been there.
And so, you know, and you start getting the hate, and it's all these people sending you messages.
Just, and even I was saying to you, you know, I put about yesterday on Instagram that you're going to be on, right? And I had a couple comments of people like, oh, really? You're going to entertain? And I'm thinking, I can't wait to write them back later today because I just think you have a great sense of humor. I think you're very reasonable. You know, I think you share values with that people would adore, you know, no matter what their background is. Like I was saying to you, you know, I love that you're so close with your family. Yeah. I like following that. And, you know, it's just like basic things. It's so weird to me that people, I don't know, are so divisive. Yeah. But of course, I blame the Russians. I really do. I think the Russians. Okay,
there it is.
There's a whole conspiracy, right? They're just trying to get under our skin because we're like amazing. But all right, look, I got to do two commercials.
All
then
right.
I want to talk to you about campus reform because you do a lot of this going out on the street and it looks like you're exposing liberal bias. Is that kind of the point?
That's a part of the point.
But I do have some questions. I've watched a lot of your videos, but it seems like you set people up a little bit.
Let's get into it. Okay. I want to hear the questions.
All right, okay. So look, HelloFresh is a sponsor. You need to be subscribing to their weekly food boxes. They're amazing. I got the veggie one. They offer plans from classic, veggie, and family. Each box is made up of fresh, responsibly obtained ingredients. We're all about that. Carefully selected from farms and high-rated trusted sources. You can get delicious, filling meals delivered right to your door every week for less than $10 per serving and free shipping. You won't spend all night in the kitchen. Every meal is literally like 30 minutes. It's more time cleaning up than it is to actually like make the meal. Love that. And you'll look forward to your HelloFresh delivery knowing that dinner is super easy every single week. For $30 off your first week, go to HelloFresh.com/HeyFrage and enter the code HeyFrage30. You 100% need to do that. We love HelloFresh. Also, Darkness to Light is a great organization. I am hosting their event June 21st. You need to buy your ticket by going to my Facebook page, which is Sarah Frazier. And it's an evening on the rooftop at Arlington Rooftop Bar and Grill. Now, this organization raises money. 100% of the profits that night are going back to end child sexual abuse. It is such a great cause. They have very difficult conversations. So you need to be buying your ticket. Come and see me and just help out this amazing, amazing cause and get to know Darkness to Light. So that's going to be June 21st, Arlington, Virginia. You can go to my Facebook page, which is Sarah Frazier. Go to events. Boom, you'll see it there. The event doors open at 6 o'clock. It's going to be a really great night and a great fundraiser. So, okay, Cabot Phillips is my guest today. I'm loving, I haven't even had time to look at, like, if you have questions, by the way, we're live on Facebook. We're always live on Facebook every Monday and Wednesday, 12:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So if you have questions for Cabot Phillips, who's gone viral, I mean, basically for your comedy, like you're funny as shit.
I'll take it.
You really,
I'll take it.
You're super funny. So if people want to know about your YouTube success, by the way, 24 million views, give us a ballpark. How much money do you make? Because I've got like fucking $300,000 or 300,000 views, and I've made like $1.
It has gone, the percentage of the money you make off of a viral YouTube video has really gone down.
Yeah, it's like I'm paid more to upload it than.
So I had a video in college, the first video I ever did. We caught a fish with my friend's hair. We put a hook on his hair, put a worm on it. We caught a fish off a dock. It was a stupid thing you do in college. Got like 250,000 views, and we made like a good amount of money off of it.
Are like, you talking like $5,000? Like
no,
$10,000?
No,
you're talking more.
No, it was less than that. It
okay,
was,
okay. So you're talking like $1,000.
That's a good amount of money for a poor college dude. It was like $1,000, $2,000.
Okay.
So when the zombie video happened, I'm like, oh my gosh, we're going to be rich. I'm going to go get a car, which wasn't the goal. The goal was not to make money.
No,
anything.
But
the
then
goal
when
was
it
to
hit.
Have fun. When it hit, and then we started looking at things, we're like, oh man, there's like, you don't make nearly as much money as you used to because YouTube takes a much bigger portion
of things.
Yeah,
they take like 75%.
The way you make the money. So what we did, we signed an agreement with a group called Jukin Media, great media company. And so they basically gave us like an upfront signing bonus. And then from there on out, they would go and find like licensing deals for us. And so they would say, hey, anytime someone needs a video, we'll put your video on the show. They'll give us the money. We get like 75% of it. They get 25%. So it's money we wouldn't have had in the first place, so we didn't feel bad.
So you're still getting residuals from that video.
And they recoup money, too. So if anyone steals your video, which is the worst, I'm sure you've had it happen to you, people steal your videos and upload them themselves.
No, my shit's not that good. Like, no one's stolen anything
Someone goes
yet.
Steal Sarah's videos to make her feel good about herself.
No, absolutely. I can't wait.
But people steal your videos. You can't do anything about it. And you see them on Twitter and Facebook, and you're like, that's my face. And
really?
They're profiting off of it, which you don't want to be like a stooge and be like, oh, give me my money. But it is your property. And so they will recoup the money though because they're a bigger company. They can say, hey, you know, you stole this property.
That's really
good. And so, we randomly will get, you know, random payments, you know, throughout the – it's been 2 years now.
That is amazing. You were on Ellen that whole – it was great.
Ellen, and Millicent, of course, got the lion's share of all the money because she's – my little sister is the one we put through the most pain.
But oh, that was great.
I think – I tried to say, Millicent, look, we got you on the Ellen show. You love Ellen. It's been like a dream of yours. Can't that be your payment? Just let me have the rest of the money, you know?
Yeah, we came up with the concept.
We got you on everything else, and she said, no, I want my money. She said, I demand that.
That's amazing, though. That's great. That video was so good. The women here love it, AJ and Leslie. They were, like, watching it numerous times before. So, okay, but now you make other videos with campus reform. Okay, exposing liberal bias, which here's my issue. So, I've watched many of these. But my thing is, like, one of the ones that I watched recently was where you're asking people if President Trump deserves a Nobel Prize or, you know, basically to say, what did President Obama win the Nobel Prize from? And most people could not tell you what it was, right?
Correct.
But here's my thing. It's like, aren't you just basically setting people up? Like, Trump hasn't even done the North Korean deal. So, like, isn't it way cart before the horse?
So, the point for this specific video, and then I'll touch on the broader thought behind the videos.
Okay.
So, this specific video, there was kind of a growing movement where President Trump, you know, and some of his advisors have been saying, hey, maybe he deserves a Nobel Peace Prize for his diplomacy, for bringing North Korea to the table. And so I'm not personally advocating for saying, hey, let's give the Nobel Peace Prize to the president after this.
Right.
But because it was a national conversation people were having, I thought, let's get opinions on this. And so I have found on I've been to probably almost 100 college campuses in the past 2.5 years.
Okay.
And I see the same thing over and over. It's the second people hear anything that has to do with Republicans, especially Donald Trump.
Right, because some of the other videos you've done is like the tax reform, right?
Correct.
And essentially then you reworked it to say, okay, this was from Bernie Sanders, which people then were all on board.
Correct. So I told them the Republican tax plan. I said, hey, this is Bernie Sanders has a new tax plan. What do you think of it? And I just read them the Republican tax plan, some of the staples of it.
Right.
And people loved it. They thought, oh, it's great. You know, it makes sense. It's compassionate. Helps small businesses. And I told them.
But are you taking like the parts of that tax? Because people weren't outraged by the entire tax reform that Trump wanted. They were outraged by parts of it.
Correct.
So are you taking the kind of the parts that people in general didn't have a problem with and then essentially saying, like, look, this is Bernie Sanders?
So there was a press release that day from the Republican Party putting out the 10 core tenets of the plan. And so we took like the first, I think it was the first four or five. We just took the first four or five bullet points from the plan, kind of the main things that people were talking about from the plan, and went out and asked about those. And the main point in the videos.
Yeah,
that
what are the points? Because I'm like, this kind of, look, you're fun. You're like so talented.
So the main point of the videos is to get people, hopefully, I want every video to have kind of an aha moment where people realize, hey, like I have a personal bias that I need to confront in my life. I am, you know, completely biased. In this case, I'm biased against conservative ideas, whatever they may be. And I hold, you know, kind of like,
right.
I hold like rage against them. I don't want to, you know, think about them. And I try to get people to look at things from a different perspective, to try to get not about making anyone look stupid or saying, oh, haha, you're ignorant. You don't know this, because you can go on any street corner and say, hey, what's the Sixth Amendment? Oh, you don't know. Americans are stupid. You could, but if you wait long enough, you can do that. But the point is more of trying to have more of a nuanced discussion of saying, hey, trying to get people to realize. And I've had a lot of great discussions with people after interviewing them where they say, hey, you know what? I guess you're right. Like, I guess that, you know, I do hold some personal bias.
Okay.
Other people get very angry in there.
So this is my thing that drives me nuts with whether it's Fox or CNN or you know, or some of the videos that you've done is like, but where's the after, you know, discussion happening? Because you guys write, I think you write some good articles that make people think, but it's just like, it seems like we're still like all about like bamboozling people.
So I try to get as much, the ideal thing that happens is I'll film a video, you know, 3 to 4 minutes. I wish I could do a 15, 20 minute video, but
you
know how it goes, people my age, you know,
I know.
I'm trying to do it in something people will watch and young people will be entertained and they'll say, oh, and maybe they'll leave the video thinking, huh, like I hadn't thought of it that way. That's interesting. It's quick. It's, you know, it's lighthearted. When it comes to the media perspective, I wish it would be a thing where someone would play the video in its entirety and then we have a, you know, 6-7 minute conversation about
right.
it, about the nuance of it. Usually the only, you know, some shows will bring me on. Usually it's Fox and we'll get a quick 3 to 4 minute conversation about the video. And I understand, you know, that's the way media works. Like people.
Yeah, it sucks. I mean,
it's so quick. The news cycle is, you know, boom, boom, boom. You can't focus on things for more than a few minutes because attention span of viewers is very short.
Well,
and
it's
also,
just,
yeah.
And I don't know if you ever, do you ever listen to Pod Save America?
I do.
Okay.
Yes,
I
do.
I'm sure you love those guys, but.
They're good at their craft.
They are good.
They
at
are.
It, right? But they did have a point when they were talking about Roseanne. And I thought this was interesting because you tweeted after Roseanne had been fired after that latest racial tweet. And you were like, look, I warned people about Roseanne.
Tell you guys.
And so when you say that, you're basically saying, look, you knew by following her from the past year or so that she's been tweeting racist things and conspiracy things, right?
You got to look at people's body of work and not just one or two things that go viral. And you're like, hey, this is great. Like, either I hate this person or I love this person based off of one or two things you see. You got to look at the broader context. Roseanne's a crazy person. She's been crazy for years.
Do you think, okay, because you know what? ABC got all this praise, right, for essentially like firing her or whatever. But you were... Not that you said this, but I think what was great about what you were saying is like ABC shouldn't get any praise. Like they knew she was like this prior.
So the point I made 3 or 4 months ago when they had the first debut and it got all the ratings, I said, look, I saw a lot of my fellow conservatives being like, we did it. We got a conservative in Hollywood. We got someone finally that's going to represent our voice. This is great. And I just said, I said, look, guys, I would caution my fellow conservatives about saying, oh, this is who we want representing us, saying, you know, she's someone that you, you know, agree with her values. Like, first off, she's not even really a conservative. She just is politically incorrect, which I think a lot of people associate with conservatism. And second off, like, go look at some of the stuff she said. She is a crazy conspiracy theorist.
Oh, insane. A lot of 9/11 was an inside job. Yeah, I didn't really follow the Chelsea Clinton, but she essentially was alleging that Chelsea Clinton is married to someone who was
George Soros, a family member of his, and it was a big scheme and plot.
It's crazy.
To take over politics. And I do, I just think that a lot of, I understand conservatives feeling like they're underrepresented in Hollywood and in film and TV, because I do think many times conservatives are represented as kind of, you know, rednecks or hicks or racist, whatever it is. That's many times the caricature of them that's presented. And so I understand that a lot of conservatives are hungry for content that makes them look like the normal people that the vast majority of them are. But I get worried when people say, I do think, and I call this out on social media the other day on Twitter, saying like, how hypocritical it is for a lot of my conservative friends to say every time, you know, a celebrity comes out and, you know, speaks out in support of, you know, something on the left, they say, hey, football players, hey, actors, no one cares about your political beliefs. Shut your mouth. Like, you're a stupid celebrity. And then the second a celebrity says something conservative, those same people say, yeah, woo, like, we're going to hold them up. They're conservative now. Like, yeah, this is great. This is our person. Like, you got to be consistent. You can't say celebrities need to shut their mouth and then support the celebrities just because they agree with you. And, you know, on certain issues, I think there's a lot of inconsistencies.
So where do you find yourself? I don't know if you've watched yet, but I over the weekend I watched For Whom the Bell Tolls, the John McCain documentary. And essentially they were just talking about how the Republican Party had a lot of people like John McCain who seemed to go across both sides and seemed to work with Democrats all the time. It was very close with Joe Biden and still is. So where do you see yourself fitting in the Republican Party, where it seems like now the party is defined by people like Sarah Palin, like President Trump?
I think the party is evolving. I do think it's evolving, and I can't tell how much of it is a generational rift and how much of it is a philosophical one.
Because what do you think? Younger Republicans are more sensible? Or
I think younger Republicans just don't value or don't prioritize the same issues that older ones do.
Give us an example.
I think younger conservatives are more of a libertarian strain. For people who don't know what that means, it's more socially liberal and more fiscally conservative.
Okay, you're down with gay marriage.
Yeah, and I think a lot of young people, they just look at the issues that impact them on a regular basis, and they say, hey, like, gay marriage, that doesn't really have an impact on me. Go marry whoever you want. I think a lot of young conservatives, they just say, the things that I care about, I don't want the government in my life. If I'm trying to start a business, I want lower taxes across the board. I want, you know, more individual liberties upheld. I think those are the more issues that younger conservatives are going to prioritize. I hope they maintain that as they go, you know, forward and begin to take the party over as, you know, they become a larger portion of the movement. It's undeniable. The Republican Party has undergone a transformation as far as who the standard bearers are. If you would have said, you know, 5 years ago that Donald Trump would be the standard bearer of the Republican Party.
I mean, I remember seeing you. We were like, there's no way. There's no way. And you obviously have great insight to the Republican Party with working with Marco Rubio. Everyone's like, and all Republicans hated him. I mean, does it surprise you, though, that now they all, I mean, and maybe that's just what you do in a party, but everybody seems to fall in line.
So, crazy stat, we're 500 days into Trump's presidency, which some people, I'm sure, it feels a lot longer, and some people probably feels like the time has flown by. 500 days in, and within the Republican Party, I believe it's 88% of Republicans approve of President Trump's, the job he's doing, and that's the second highest in-party approval rating at 500 days in history besides George W. Bush right after 9/11. So the how quickly he has gained the support of the party is almost historic. And I think it's two things. One, I do think that people look at, you know, the famous, you know, Ronald Reagan line of, hey, is your life better off now than it was 4 years ago? And I think some people look at, hey, is my bank account doing better than it was a few years ago? Is my general life better than it was a few years ago under Obama? And I think a lot of people feel like it is.
Right.
And number two, I think how much hatred gets thrown at Donald Trump and his supporters has empowered them, and it's made them feel like, hey, guys, us against the world. And I do think that's caused a lot of people to support President Trump on the conservative side, where they get tired of perceived bias, where they get tired of people, you know, denigrating them because of their beliefs. And they think, hey, you know what? Screw you guys. Like, I am going to support President Trump because it's kind of countercultural. It's kind of the rebellious thing to do. And I think that a lot of people get tired of being told that they're stupid or that they are bigoted because of a certain belief. And they begin to feel kind of like an us against them mentality. It's not healthy for either side, but I think that's one reason that it's happened.
Well, and I think, you know, what was fascinating to me is you see, you know, like a lot of people are, you know, we're in a bubble, right? You live in New York, but you're from this area.
We live coastal elites.
Coastal elites, yes. I'm from rural Maine. Like, I never thought I'd be a part of this, but now I am. You know, but I think you forget, like, when Roseanne, the reboot, got like 25 million views, I'm like, holy shit. You know, that goes to show you there's a lot of people that you know, relate to that. And I mean, I just felt like that show was terrible anyway. Like,
I've never watched an entire episode of Roseanne. I just don't really watch TV in the first place.
You don't? You're not a TV fan at all?
I'm not. I'm more of a...
Look at you. What do you watch?
If I'm going to watch something, I try to limit my Netflix intake. I'll let myself watch some Netflix during lunch, like on my lunch break.
Yep.
And my New Year's resolution was to stop watching Netflix. And I pretty much have done it. I started reading. I try to do a book a week. So I've been
reading. Look at you. So you read and not a lot of TV consumption.
I found out they have these things called books. I think they're called books. And you apparently just sit down, you open them up, and you read and you learn stuff. And I don't know. I had not been really keen on them until this year. And now.
Oh, my God. I love it.
My mom is going to be very ashamed if she finds out that I didn't read.
No, she
used to make me read books.
So when are you going to run for office? I think you're going. You know, you almost have my vote because this is the thing. Like, remember the last time I saw you? I was like, you were single at the time. I think you're seeing somebody now, right?
I'm single now.
You're single now. Oh my God, this is great news. Well, I was hitting on you. I was saying how hot you are, and I was like, you know, we should be the next James Carville and whoever the chickie is married to. I was like, would you date me? I donate to Planned Parenthood, and you were dead fucking serious, and you're like, no.
Well, there were two reasons I wouldn't date you. One, I don't want to date someone completely out of my league because it makes me feel self-conscious.
You are so full of crap.
It makes me self-conscious. And I'm like, the whole time I'm wondering, like, oh, is there someone better for her out there? Second off, I don't want your boyfriend. What's his name? I forget your boyfriend's name.
Dan.
I don't want Dan to beat me up.
No, don't worry. He'd probably take you on like in a soccer match or something. All he does is soccer 24/7.
Well, he'd beat me at soccer. The third reason
there's more.
The third reason I said is I think it's important if you're dating somebody to be compatible on the main core issues.
You do?
I do. I think that's important.
Really?
So for me personally.
I guess, you know what? That's a good point.
That was
point.
A big issue for me. Yeah.
Yeah, you're pro-life.
I'm pro-life.
I respect
that's a big
that.
Issue, yeah.
I mean, I feel like anyone should have the right to choose, but I understand for you that's
I don't like the word deal breaker, but it's a deal breaker for me. So we're gonna have to. I feel us drifting apart. Sarah, help.
Well, I didn't realize this, but you're way too young for me too. So that also saved you. Otherwise, I'd get drunk at the end of this, try to make out with you. I don't even care.
I would
like ignore this.
I would be
herpes
screaming,
on my lip.
"Please help!" But acting like I didn't, you know, want anything to happen.
All right, look, we got to talk some pop culture. You're too much fun. By the way, people are on the Facebook Live right now. They are asking questions. If you have any questions for Cabot Phillips, he's amazing. You've seen him go viral with the zombie apocalypse video on YouTube. He was on Ellen, Campus Reform media director. And then, of course, you see him all over MSNBC now, CNN, Fox News. I know.
And to get people... Get people thinking.
You are. You really are. I think you're very reasonable. I like that. But don't you find, what do you think this is too? I think this is why I think it's Russia. But like, I feel like once people see each other in real life, everyone has middle ground. So what do you think it is? Do you think we just have like such first world problems in the United States that we don't? I feel like in real life, people will never, they always like you.
I think it's a combination of a few things. One, I think on social media, you only see a very small portion of someone, and it's usually the portion you don't like. So on social media, you're only going to see, you know, 140 characters of someone and think, okay, you reduce that person to those words that you see in a tweet or on Facebook. And so it's easy to really form an opinion based on one aspect of their life. When you're a person with someone, you get to see them as a whole and you realize, hey, I disagree with this someone, you know, politically, but that's not who they are. That's a part of who they are.
Right.
And I can view them in a holistic approach and form an opinion on them that way. That's why people are nicer in person.
When are you going to run? I'm going to run as well around that same time.
I don't trust people who run for office or who just run for fun, like to exercise. I don't trust those two people. I am very, I actually do get asked that a lot. And I hope I don't get the politician vibe.
You don't at all.
Because I think of like sleazy and like slick. I really feel like I'm just so happy doing what I'm doing right now, getting to like, I get to go to a different college campus
every week.
Once or twice a week, and I get to hold events and speak to students about why, you know, free speech and dialogue is so important. I get to go to debates and have debates with people, and I get to, you know, try and change people's minds. And I think that, for me, is just the most rewarding thing.
That seemed like a very political answer.
I'm in politics. You gotta do some political answers. This is me changing the subject, too. I have to tell you the story about being in New York City.
Yes, what was it? So you recently moved there, and then what happened?
Get this. Sarah has not heard the story, by the way, so this is first time for you. Cinco de Mayo night.
Great night.
I'm walking back from, it's 9 o'clock, 9 p.m. I have not had a drink the whole day.
That's amazing.
I was with my brother at a rap battle, actually, because I love rap.
Oh.
We were at a rap battle in a venue. It was awesome. And
you and your brother wrote one?
Southside Manhattan, yeah.
Like each other?
Oh, no, we didn't rap. I have a favorite battle rapper. It's a big thing.
Yeah, battle rapping is enormous.
Huge, and we win, and I was like the hype man. I was in the front row, like screaming, supporting my favorite guy. So it was great.
What are you? Are you Team Pusha or are you Team Drake?
I mean, if it's who I listen to more, I do listen to more Drake. But in this battle, I mean, Pusha just destroyed him.
I know. Can you imagine like outing someone's kid? I know.
Yeah. And the other thing I heard apparently was that, you know, it's called what, A Story of Adidon. And that was supposed to be the name of Drake's Adidas line. So now anyone who Googles Drake's clothing line, the first thing that comes up is a diss on Drake. So it's like he's screwing up his SEO.
His money and everything.
Coming for it. Anyways, I'm leaving this rap battle. I'm walking home. I live in 33rd and 3rd, Murray Hill, Manhattan. Not a sketchy area.
No, that's a pretty quiet area.
It's a pretty quiet area. Yeah. A lot of finance frat bros and things of that nature. Walking down the street, going back to my apartment, I hear a commotion across the street. Me being the good neighbor that I am, I'm on my block. I think, oh, like maybe someone's in trouble. So I cross the street, but still at a distance because I don't want to get any trouble. Are you kidding me? And I see these four young ladies sitting at an outside table, and these four guys walking down the sidewalk, and they had been like catcalling these girls. And so one of the women was like, hey, like, stop talking to us like that. Like, don't talk to my friend like that.
Right.
They got into a verbal altercation. Everyone was drunk. It was pretty clear. All of them were drunk. I was not drunk. So I'm, you know, watching with that in mind. And one of the guys, the girl, like, calls him a name, and he turns, has a wine bottle, and throws it at these women.
Really?
Misses them, hits the brick wall behind them, and glass just shatters everywhere. People are screaming. I'm like, oh, my gosh. The guy just threw a wine bottle at that woman. So, like, the wait staff comes in. They tell everyone to get inside. And one of the women stands up and starts going towards this guy. And he's got like, these are big guys.
Badass.
She starts going towards this guy and her friends are holding her back. And she like breaks free and like hits him. It was not hard. She hit him. You know, I'm not saying she should have hit him, but he did throw a wine bottle at her.
Yeah, sure. Okay.
And her friends. And he rears back and knocks her unconscious.
What?
Just drops her, knocks her unconscious.
Oh my God. Yeah. Did you cell phone video this?
No. Everyone else was videoing.
Okay.
Drop my bag and run over and like come up behind him because he's like, you know, kind of like bouncing like he's about to hit somebody else.
Okay, this dude clearly must have been on drugs.
I don't know what was going on. And so her friend is like screams and goes to her friend and the other girl starts like coming towards the guy. And I'm like, he's going to like knock out this other woman. So I'm expecting my fellow New Yorkers to jump into action and help protect these damsels
Hell
in distress.
No. They're like, no,
I like run
way.
Up behind the guy and like grab him and like wrap him up and I'm like pulling him away, trying to make sure he doesn't knock this other woman out. I'm like kind of like wrestling him back. And all of a sudden I feel this like shooting pain in my back and I like fall to the ground. I hear everyone scream and everyone's like, oh, and I fall to the ground. I let the guy go and I look up and there's one of his buddies had ran and picked up a metal sign like that the bars have outside, like advertise like drink specials, like the trifold signs. Had it over his head.
Oh my God.
Slammed it into my back. So I fall to the ground. I like look up. He's got it over his head again and he swings it a second time.
Holy shit, yes! Kevin, you could have been like seriously injured.
Horribly injured. So I like jump out of the way. It kind of like grazes my arm. People at that point, everyone's like, call the police, call the police. Like this guy is swinging metal sign at this innocent bystander.
Is that like the last time you're ever going to help out? You're like, I'm done.
No, I would do it again in a flash, Sarah, because I believe in helping my fellow citizens. So
the wine is kicked in.
So these four, my five sips of rosé. So these four
There's
guys.
There's no way.
These four guys
that.
Like run down the street because they hear that we're calling the cops. And these like two guys come out of a pizza place and they're like, they hear everyone yelling like, hey, like what's going on, guys? These four guys just jump, just knock these other two guys, just punch them, knock them. I don't know if they were unconscious, but just wrecked these two guys. And then all four guys just like ran down the street. Wake of destruction in their path, including my back.
Terrifying.
It was horrible.
Holy shit.
Yeah. The cops came. I had to send an ambulance and get evaluated. And
what happened to the woman? Was she okay?
She had a big cut on her eye.
But she gained consciousness.
She did come to.
Oh my God. I hope they had video.
The cop told me that it was assault with a deadly weapon, so it's a felony because he used a metal.
Okay, wait. Has there been any follow-up? Have they made any arrests? I don't know that they would let you know, but.
Yeah, I gave him my name. I didn't want to personally like press charges and get involved on the legal stuff.
Right, right.
You know how it goes. Well, I don't know if you know how it goes. I don't know how it goes. I'm just saying.
I don't know.
I'm just picturing like me in court like testifying and then giving me a look and being like, we're coming for you outside the courthouse. And you'd be like, okay. And it just was not
damn.
Worth it.
So. Wait, did someone steal your wallet too?
No.
Like, no.
Well, I was never.
They just like beat you up.
They sucker punched me with a giant metal pole / sign.
Holy shit.
Yeah, my back still kind of hurts. If I was like playing basketball yesterday, it was still very like.
Wow, sore. Welcome to New York.
Welcome to New York.
Yeah, they don't mess around.
No, they don't.
That is a change for you from the streets of Virginia.
The rough streets of Leesburg, Virginia, where I grew up.
You didn't have any of that.
No.
Wow.
See, the moral of the story is two things. One, that Cabot Phillips is a hero for jumping into action to help his fellow citizens.
There's your campaign. Campaign story. Yeah.
Number two, people really want to see people get hurt because they think it's like great. Everyone was filming. Everyone's like, oh, world star. Everyone's like filming. Like they were all excited that there was a fight and people were getting like knocked out. And if it was two guys, I don't know. It's just seeing a woman get knocked out. It's like,
oh my
guys, like.
Yeah, well, seeing this woman get like totally clocked
maybe
and
the
no
Southern
one jumping
in, me,
in.
But I don't know. I feel like if I was down south and any woman gets touched, there's gonna be like 10 guys jumping in to help out. I don't want
to
hate on the north. I was just raised in the south, and I was, you know, maybe it's a different.
Is Leesburg the south now? I don't know.
I grew up in Atlanta before Leesburg.
Oh, you did? Okay, well then, yeah, you're a Southerner. All right, so tell me this: have you read this story about the FBI agent who was in the nightclub over the weekend in Denver, Colorado? Does a backflip, his gun falls to the ground, and then discharges.
I need to know two things. First of all, what was the song he was dancing to?
Here's the video. We're playing the video on our Facebook Live, by the
way.
And so this, okay, by the way, we don't know his status. If he was turned over to an FBI sort of point person, but he was not arrested. The person that was struck in the ankle by his gun was taken to the hospital with minor injuries and is just fine. But aren't you supposed to be arrested for that? Look, and the gun goes off. What? And then he tucks the gun back into his ass.
Like nothing
happened.
And then
he puts his hands up. He's like, okay, sorry. Yeah, sorry.
To his credit, he is a good dancer before the discharge of a firearm.
Okay, so not that you would know this, but here's what we were wondering is, if you're an FBI agent, does that just mean you can carry a gun anywhere? Like, I guess you...
Because you're not supposed to carry in a bar. If they serve alcohol, you're not allowed to...
Right, so
carry.
Was he allowed to because he was an FBI agent, or he just really wasn't supposed to be carrying a gun?
I'm going to wager to say that you're not supposed to carry a gun. My friend, in high school, my friend's dad was an FBI agent. And
really?
You're not allowed to have guns on school property, but he would still carry his gun to our baseball games. And I know that if you're, yeah. I believe there's a thing, I want to say if
isn't
you're.
Isn't it anywhere in school grounds? Because I feel like they have this policy at Loudon Soccer Park. Like you can't, there's no weapons.
He was allowed. And I want to say it was a thing where if you're going to or from work, he was obligated to have the firearm on him.
Oh, got it. Okay.
If he was going to or from, and I guess if he came straight from work. I want to say that's what it was. Maybe you have some FBI staff members that
Who's
listen.
Watching that's on the FBI? Yeah.
Well,
actually,
they're all listening
we do
to our
have
phones
a woman
anyway, so.
That works for the CIA that listens.
Really?
Yes. So she'll be able to tell us.
Okay.
Yeah.
She can tell you she works for the CIA? She's not like, oh, I'm a real estate agent.
Actually, maybe she wasn't supposed to tell me that. I don't know. I never, you can't.
Yeah, her name. Here's her name right here.
I was almost going to give out her first name. I was like, oh, yeah, maybe she wasn't supposed to tell me that, actually.
I mean,
I don't know. Oh, my God. You can't tell me anything.
Do you ever wonder, like, which FBI agent's reading your text messages? I kind of hope it's
wait,
a guy like
why
this.
Are
this guy
they
seems
reading
cool.
Why would they be reading my text messages?
You know, like the thing where it's like, you know, like, hi, Mr. FBI agent. Like the joke that the social media thing, like, oh, there's the government's
reading. Well, I
do.
Yeah, yeah. And I did read because your TV basically is spying on you, right? Can the NSA basically like now watch you through your television?
Yeah.
I do that too. Yeah, sometimes. I do talk
honestly,
to them in the morning.
I like to think that my FBI agent would want to hang out with me. That he'd be like, this guy's pretty cool.
Really?
And I would hope that my FBI agent's doing backflips in a club with a firearm on him. I think that's the guy I want spying on me. If
God,
it's the government.
I don't. I'm a freak. Like, I want people, like, seeing what's going on in my inner house.
Yeah.
Please. Yeah.
We should set up a Hey Phrase permanent webcam in your house.
Oh, my God. It's a lot of, like, plucking hairs where it shouldn't be growing. Like, all kinds of shit. Yeah.
What do I need to do to
I'm
get
I'm always,
the...
like, trying to, like, harass Dan, like, get him to do all these sexual things he doesn't want to do. Like, it's...
How can I get the Hey Phrase, the wax treatment you guys do on Instagram that I always see?
Oh, you want to go to Wax in the City,
free.
Alexandria? Yeah.
My mom told me my eyebrows are getting on air that it's, like, they're too bushy. So
yeah, they are pretty bushy, actually.
You're supposed to console me and be like, no, they're fine.
There's a lot of hair they could take off there.
Yeah. So
actually,
maybe
you're, you know, one part is actually beginning to almost grow down into your eyelash.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I thought it looked kind of masculine, you know, really added definition to my upper forehead region.
Oh, my God. So does it surprise you Kanye West's album went to number one on iTunes? I didn't know that you were like a rap battle guy.
No, it doesn't surprise me at all. This is...
Why? People were so outraged. Come on.
I don't think people were actually that mad. I think people were mad enough to let people know I'm mad, but not mad enough to not listen to their favorite rapper. Like, let's remember who we're talking... Kanye is top five most iconic rappers of his generation.
Time.
I don't know all time, but of his generation for sure.
And, yeah, that's true.
And
yeah.
Also, every single person's been talking. And so, like, number one, that doesn't mean everyone liked it. That means everyone listened to it, though.
That's true.
Probably was thinking, hey, like, what's the follow-up? Did he address any of the crazy stuff he said? Like,
yeah, a lot of it. He basically said, like, Kim was almost going to divorce him. Yeah. And now,
Wouldn't leave. That's my favorite song on the album. I love the album. It's a great.
You do like it?
It's a little mellow for me. I like a little different kind of rap, but I found it very
entertaining. You liked it.
I liked it.
Who were some of your favorite rappers, by the way, since you're a rap battle guy?
I have some guilty pleasure rappers that I like. I love Meek Mill.
Okay.
And guilty pleasure in the sense that, you know, it's a little harder. Like, I just can't relate with a lot of stuff he raps about. You know, like, sure. Being in prison, but it's great workout music.
Yeah.
I love that. I mean, there's some, you know, bigger guys. I do love some Big Sean, Drake, fun stuff. I listen to rap because it's upbeat. It puts me in a good mood.
There's
I try not to
songs.
Listen to lyrics too much because some of them can be, you know,
a little rough for you.
A little rough for me.
Well, you're not down with the N-word and all that?
Definitely not. You saw that Kendrick Lamar thing.
Yes.
Where the woman went on stage.
Would that be you?
No, that would not be me. You kidding me? I know much better than that.
Me too.
I know much better than that.
I'm like, this poor chick didn't have any clue. Yeah, I know. That was a bad... All right, we're moving on. But Kanye did come out and say that he suffers from mental illness, that he was diagnosed with being bipolar when he was 39.
Yeah, it's the whole Kanye thing.
I don't know what to make of it either.
I
know, because then you're like, well, he's bipolar, so how much of it? Then he says that basically his mental illness did lead him to say, over the weekend he talked to Big Boy, and he said that having his bipolar disorder led him to make the comment about 400 years of slavery was a choice.
Yeah.
So then you're like, well, then what are you going to comment about?
Yeah, it's, I'm still, part of me thinks this is like a big performance art thing he's doing.
Oh, that's a good take on it.
Maybe it's, if I don't want to get any conspiracies, but I read
hate
some
conspiracies. Don't you? Like, are you into any conspiracies? I really don't believe any.
I actually, my family on vacation, we're not a conspiracy. I'm not a conspiracy.
I know, me neither.
But my brother asked me this question. He said, hey, if there were one conspiracy in the world that had the highest likelihood of being true, not saying it's true.
Okay.
But of the popular ones, which one has the highest likelihood of being true?
All right, what one?
For me, I had to put some thought into this. Again, not saying it's true. I think the one that has the highest likelihood would probably be the moon landing for me. Because, again, I'm not saying it's true, but it makes the most sense from the standpoint of, yeah, there's a big motive for us to fake that. It makes sense why we would try. There's, you know, some geopolitical reasons for it.
Yes.
It wouldn't be, feasibly, it wouldn't be that difficult to fake it. That's probably the ones, obviously, we still land on the moon, but of the ones that, the big ones, what's yours?
Are
you
going
Bigfoot, JFK?
No, none of the above. I don't believe.
You got to pick one, the most likely.
I just gave mine.
I embarrassed myself. I gave mine.
I used to believe in so many conspiracy theories. Like, and I would spend so much time, like, watching it. I tried to even watch, like, this is awful, like the 9/11 one, like,
ooh,
all
no.
this stuff. I know.
No, I'm not on
right?
that train.
It's so fucking fake. And then I'm trying to think of the one, okay, I used to believe that Princess Diana was killed by the royal family, like inside job.
Conspiracy theorist Sarah over here. Okay.
But here's the deal.
Wow.
Like, I finally, when I did my first true crime podcast all about the Savopoulos family, and there was so much, that was a big crime here in D.C., right? And there were so many conspiracy theories and so many rumors out there. And we investigated every single rumor, and there was like, there was zero evidence. And finally, I talked to these two really great guys, a retired FBI agent and a retired homicide detective in DC. And they were like, crime is boring. They were like, if we could tell the public one thing, crime is really fucking boring. Mm. Like, when crime happens in a big way, like the Savopoulos murder, it's usually because it's a perfect storm of things that go wrong. But there is no conspiracy. They're like, it doesn't exist. Like, the chances of it being a conspiracy, being something there, is just like, They're like, why? Like, it just, yeah. and they're like, they had such a great point. They were like, now with social media, people aren't really loyal to their jobs. So what incentive do people have to keep these great big secrets?
Yeah, that's a good point.
So I was like, ever since then, and they kind of dispelled like every single rumor. I'm like, oh.
That, right, was that like a downer for you? You were kind of wanting there to be like
yeah.
some.
Yeah. I was like, okay. When I went into that, I was clearly like, all right, I'm going to break this case wide open. And then there was like literally nothing. They were like, yeah, this explains why. Because, like, you know, that home was like burnt, right?
Yeah, I remember. He ordered Domino's. That's how they called him, right?
And then the home was torched, right? So they were basically talking about once a home is burnt, like, because we're like, well, where's all the evidence? And there's got to be like, there's got to be footprints, all this stuff. They're like, do you know what, how much smoke damage does to like a home in a crime scene? They're like, it's not unreasonable that there's no great big footprints and all these things. Like smoke inhalation, smoke damage is like serious.
You have some listeners right now who are like, okay, got it. So if I want to commit the perfect crime, I just burn wherever I am.
I know.
In the clear.
Yeah.
Dangerous.
So, and then people are stupid. They like, they text message, they do all this stuff, they delete them, and then
they think
that it's gone and it's not. Anyway.
That's like, I thought if I deleted my AIM messages in sixth grade that my mom couldn't read them still. And
wrong.
Fun fact, she could. Yeah, it was very embarrassing.
So you're no longer, now you're single. Is it, how's it, how's life being single in New York?
I'm on the road so much, you know, I don't really.
No dating? I mean,
really,
you're trying to find a needle in a haystack too, by the way. This woman's going to have all your values. I mean, my God, how many things like does she need to have? I bet you've got a long list. You seem like a guy with a list.
Good Christian girl.
You have good Christian values, yes.
Gotta be able to impress
the parents,
I gotta
ask you about that, by the way. Do you believe in exorcisms?
Oh, man. I saw that on the list and I was like, I was with my roommate when I opened up the list of topics and he was like, man, there's an exorcism topic on there. Man, what kind of stuff's going on?
What is this show?
I wondered if we were going to touch on that. I'm a Christian. I believe the Bible. I think.
Yeah,
I think too. I personally, I don't know what it looks like. I believe in good and evil. I believe in God. And yeah, I believe that there is Satan. And I don't know what form that looks like when it comes to like exorcisms. I think the movies like sensationalize everything. I don't know what it looks like. I'm not going to come out and say I don't believe it. That's what I'm saying.
The story basically says a professor with 25 years experience in private psychiatric practice now says that exorcisms are on the rise. And the number of cases of demonic possession and the demands for priests to carry out exorcism is, according to multiple sources, soaring. Mm-hmm. Why do you think that is? Do you think it's real or you think that...
First of all, I'm not Catholic, so I don't know the whole process of... I know the Catholic Church has like a very official, like by the books, like here's the process, here are the things we read. I don't have an opinion on the way the Catholic Church handles it. I personally do think that there you can be possessed by demons, whatever you want to call it, because that's in the Bible. I believe the Bible.
I gotta go to one.
I don't
have
fool
one.
Around with it.
You wouldn't have one.
No,
like,
I wouldn't
this
fool
was
around
your
with
show,
it.
I was like saying to the women,
no, I would
the
not
both
fool
women
around with it.
On the show are very Catholic. I was raised Catholic, but I'm actually looking for like a new church, so I'm going to like different churches. And so I'm like trying to find something else that like really moves me. But I feel like I'm such a millennial. Like you got to have like the band and you got to various images. We got to be able to tweet during it. You know, it's like crazy. Like, so anyway, you haven't found one yet. But
you would bring someone in here who thought they were possessed.
I want to go. Yes. 1,000%. But the women were like, would you be done? Would you be out of the show?
I don't know. Hell to the no.
Thank you.
You won't stay?
No, Sarah, that's so scary.
What?
You don't mess around with that stuff.
Leslie's actually Christian, so I wanted to get her. She's
okay,
also
you
single.
Won't stay for the exorcism? Am I going to have to run the whole show by myself?
Sarah, hell yeah. Run the boards, run the sounders.
I'd be out of here.
Listen, come on.
If you go digging for that stuff, it's going to find you.
Like the spirit will leave the person that's possessed and then enter your body, Sarah.
I don't know how all that...
You think if we had an exorcism that the demon's then going to come into like my possession? Like why? Well, but that would mean like
you're very desirable, you know. Like, you this know. Looks like a fun life.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, no.
Yeah, they go into people that are like able to talk to people. And
that demon will stay in my body one night. I go to bed at 8:30. It'll be like, all right, I'm out of here.
I wouldn't mess around with it. This is my professional and personal and spiritual advice to you.
All right, look,
I'm your new spiritual advisor, and I'm telling you. As someone that believes in this and has heard some stories.
My God, no. What are those movies where the people get hit on the head and then they wake up, like that Amy Schumer one? See, I'm liberal, and then I'll hang out with you, I'll hit my head, and then
wake
suddenly
up conservative?
I'll... Yes.
I don't want to hit your head. As someone that's been assaulted recently, I know how horrible it is, so I'm not going to do that to you, but...
Yeah, that'll be like my luck. All right, look, we do a thing at the end of the show called Pineapple Mail. Okay, where we read viewers, like, email us all the time. It's sarah@heyfrage.com, Sarah with an H. You can write anything. Maybe you're possessed by demons, obviously.
Don't send us emails if that's the case. Go get help.
Be sticking around.
Don't mess around with us.
We have two commercials that we have to hit before we do that. So Misty Blue Boutique, we have a great partnership going on with a female local-owned business owner in Maryland. She has amazing clothes, accessories. You can go to mistybluebf.com and use the code HEYFRAGE to get 15% off all her clothing. All my OOTDs that you see every single day are on there. You need to check them out. A lot of people were commenting. So, you know, I share my weight loss journey on Instagram all the time. So when I, several years ago, I was a lot heavier. I weighed 190 pounds at my large, I had a lot of food issues. And then I talk about my mindful eating
journey. Mindful eating, I was about to say.
Yes,
that's what
I'm
you call
obsessed.
It. I've seen it, yeah.
Yeah, which basically is like, you just like, trust your body to know what it wants to eat, which is really hard. You never had like food issues, probably.
I do stomach full eating instead of mindful eating, where I just fill my stomach.
Oh, you do?
Ever since college, I have started to try to eat healthier.
Yeah,
because
the
second you stop being active every day, it just, you know, I'm sure a lot of your 20-something listeners can relate, where it's like that transition from, oh, I can eat whatever I want and stay thin, and now you're...
I know.
Mind bleeding.
So anyway, I do a newsletter. It's twice a month, actually. And so if you want to sign up for that, a lot of people thought I was going to talk about my mindful eating and weight loss journey on the podcast, which I have before, but I'm not going to talk about it today. If you want the newsletter, where I basically share my tips, I have a lot of girlfriends who talk about how they constantly think about food and dieting all the time, which I did for years. You can sign up for my newsletter, heyfrage.com. So check that out. And then we have to welcome our newest sponsor to the show, Jessica Claros, who is in Silver Spring, Maryland. She's a Farmers Insurance rep. She sells auto, renters, life insurance. You're like way too young for that, Cabot. You don't even need that yet.
But life insurance again?
You know exactly what it is. But you know, when you get to my age, which is 32, you need short-term and long-term disability. And I have a new life insurance policy as well.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thanks.
You're walking around with this new ease of mind?
Yes, I am. Well, no, actually, I think like Dan will probably murder me for the money. I'll be on 48 hours.
I'll do a podcast investigating it if he does. I'll get to the bottom of it.
Like, yeah, okay. Well, good. Well, and then I take back all that conspiracy shit that I denied because, yeah, he probably did it. No, but I can't say that. I have a lot of crazy listeners. You'll have to investigate some people. I have some phrasiacs that also want me dead. So who knows? It's a long list. But you need to see her. She is unbelievable. Jessica Claros. You can go to agents.farmers.com/Silver Spring. She'll be there. Or we're also going to put her information up at heyfrage.com. You can call her phone number in Silver Spring, 301-273-1133. She's got all your home, auto, renters, life, anything you want. And she really deals with Maryland, so she specializes in that. Okay, pineapple mail. We need you to weigh in. Oh my God, you probably got to get out of here.
No, I'm good.
Okay, so let's start with this one. This woman who is a supporter of the podcast. So a couple weeks ago, all right, you don't have a kid, right?
No, I don't.
Okay, we were talking about basically that it's completely fine if your partner wants to try your breast milk. And I know what you're like.
Man. Who is we? You said we determined? Who is we? I don't want to be lumped in with we here.
I have like, my eye keeps watering and I'm just like, I can't stop laughing at you. Well, we did. No, it was a story. It was like a mommy blog that basically said it's not weird that your partner wants to try your breast milk. Like, it's totally acceptable.
Never had a kid, I don't know. Maybe you have a kid and you're like,
with a kid? Have you ever dated?
No. Not that I know of.
Is that on your list? That's probably not. You don't want anyone's kids, right?
Like, I mean, I'm not like inherently opposed to it, but it's not what I look for necessarily.
Until like 10 more years when life hits you, and then I'm going to be 50 and rich, and then like, well, hopefully you're not divorced, but like maybe you're going through a rough patch. I'll just take advantage of you.
Yeah. Do we need to sign like a contract where if I'm a certain age, you're a certain age, we just get married?
Yeah, but I'll be really old. Well, not that old. I mean, 32 and 24.
I'm doing it for the money, though. It's not about the love for me. Hold on. Maybe if I have a kid, though, and like my wife is like nursing the kid, then it would be like.
Would you want to try your breast milk?
No, I wouldn't. I would not. But I'm saying maybe some chemical thing happens when you become a father and you're like, I want to be closer to my wife in this way. I don't think that's a thing. I think it's gross.
Okay, this woman, Allie, writes to us and she says, hey, I'm a mom of three. I have so many comments on your recent podcast episode about your breastfeeding segment. I'm nursing my 3-day-old baby still. Tell AJ's mom, not a drip of formula. AJ's mom basically is a woman who like believes you should only be breastfeeding your kid.
Till they're like nine.
Right. Like till they can make eye contact with you and like lift up your top. So fucking creepy. I know. But I'd have that woman on the show too. Like, come breastfeed your 7-year-old live on our podcast. What do we care?
I care.
I care too. Don't allow it.
You guys aren't here for half the shows. She says, I'm totally available for comments on breastfeeding in my experience, but I recommend getting a lactation consultant on the show as well. She also goes on to say that I will bring in my breast milk and I'd be happy to make you guys a breast milk smoothie so you could try my unique experience. She says that I keep my husband pretty much off limits with my breast milk while I'm breastfeeding because I mentally have to deal with so many things. And it does seem like some sort of sexual fetish that my husband would be interested in tasting my breast milk. But she's like, let me know. I can bring you guys a sample if you would like to taste. Ha ha ha. I've got a frozen stash. I'm dying to know how many emails that you get on this subject. We've gotten several. From women that basically think it is totally fine to want to try your own breast milk or that your partner does.
How much breast milk is this woman producing? If there's enough for samples and for for little smoothies and frozen sections.
AJ, so I said, I don't know. I don't know if I could really, like, I don't know. The more I'm going along and I'm partly a vegan, so now I'm having a really hard time, like,
does
eating.
Does breast milk count as not being vegan?
Oh, that's a good question. No, I think it is. I think it is vegan, right?
It's still dairy, I guess.
But so I was like, I don't know. Could I drink another woman's breast milk? But AJ, you said that you would be willing to try her breast milk smoothie that she wants to make for us.
Yeah, I'll try it.
You will? You
I
really
think it
will.
It would taste perfectly normal, probably.
In a smoothie, too. You're not going to taste anything. It's going to taste like a yummy smoothie just with her breast
milk.
We use
the word yummy when we talk about other people's breast milk.
You're right.
Okay. All right, then
term.
You know what? We're going to have her on. Email Allie back. We're going to have her on and tell her to make a breast milk smoothie.
I'm on it. What's the flavor? We want like a strawberry banana.
No, it's strictly breast milk flavors.
I think you don't. You think you got to try like the real breast milk? You got to like get.
Okay,
the
if you're trying the smoothie, you need to be bold enough just to take a shot.
Do it, AJ.
All right.
It.
If shots are involved, then I'm in.
And just don't do it when she's in the room because that'd be weird. But
just like I stare at her in her eyes and sip her breast milk.
I've never heard the word "sip" associated with breast milk.
Like, I can't wait.
I was nursing my baby and she was sipping on my breast.
You know what? If I've had a glass of wine, I'll try it.
One glass will get you to try breast milk.
Absolutely.
What will four glasses do to you?
Oh my God. Are you kidding? Oh, Kevin.
One glass gets her down to try
breast
milk. Two glasses takes her
I'll be like chasing you around trying to like either have sex with you or like give you some sign of exorcism.
That'd
be crazy.
Let's lock the wine down in there and get me out of here as soon as possible.
Okay, second email. Oh, you're not going anywhere.
Second email.
This is from a girl that I went to high school with. I always joke about, and on the past in this podcast, people give me a hard time. They think I have a lot of facial hair. And I always deny it on this podcast. I say, do you think I have a mustache, Cabot? Do you see any mustache? Yeah, look closely.
I don't. Seemed
like you really
no
had to
mustache.
Hesitate. Anyway, well, then my friend Hannah from high school says, look, I was cleaning out some piles in my attic today and I found this picture. Looks like you used to love Nair on your eyebrows and your upper lip. What the fuck?
What is Nair?
Nair is a hair remover, like a cheap hair removing lotion that you buy at CVS. It stings like hell.
Really?
And like you put it on for hair removal. And I have been telling people that I was not that hairy, but she sent me this, and this makes it look like I am hairy as hell.
It looks like you kind of have like a white mustache here.
Yeah, because that's the Nair that you leave on for like 5 minutes, and then you wipe it off, and it wipes up all your hair.
Oh, okay. Are you wearing like a culinary shirt, like a chef shirt? That's kind of what it looks like.
And I'm also...
You're like an aspiring chef?
Yes. And there I was. That was when I was trying to be like Mario Batali.
Oh, and it's under your eyebrows too.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
There you go.
I just thought it was like a, just like a
no.
Weirdly
so,
colored
Hannah,
patch.
Thank you so much. And now that confirms that I guess I was apparently hairy when I was like 14.
It's hilarious.
Okay. Last email. And again, you can always email sarah@heyfrage.com with any of your comments, questions for the show. This woman says, her name is also Sarah. She says, I'm a huge fan and I loved hearing you for the first time on the Mike O'Mara show. What podcast do you listen to, Cabot, by the way? You podcast big guy?
I'm not a big podcast guy, to be honest. Hey Frage, of course, but.
The best one, clearly.
I'm not a huge podcast guy. Actually, no, I'm not going to.
What? Who were you going to say that you like?
I don't want to advertise other people's podcasts on
your
podcast.
I don't care. What do I care? This is what the podcasting community is all about.
I did listen to This American Life on NPR.
Oh, there
you
go.
And they actually did a segment on myself and a few other people recently, and it was the coolest thing. It was the trippiest thing
ever.
Wait,
was it kind to you, or was it?
It was very kind.
Really?
It was honestly very cool.
Oh my God, you got to promote that. You're on it. What was the episode called? Do you remember?
It was called My Effing First Amendment.
Really?
E-F-F-I-N-G,
all right, now I got to listen.
Actually, yeah.
Were you on? Did you do an interview?
I did, yeah. They followed us around at work all day, and It was cool.
All right, now I'm going to listen
to them. They did very fair. Great. It was good reporting. It was cool.
That's amazing. That doesn't really happen in journalism anymore, so that's pretty good. She says, I see how supportive you are to other women, and I also noticed that you're a vegan, or at least a part-time one. I've been a vegan for almost 17 years, and I support a group called Compassion Over Killing, which promotes veganism and plans the huge DC Veg Fest every year. Have you ever considered having Erica Meyer on your show? She's the president of Compassion Over Killing, one of the only women-led animal advocacy groups. Oh, I had no idea. You may also see her work on the news as COK. She sometimes does cooking demos. Since you do Facebook Live, it might be really cool to have her on. Also, lastly, I listened to the episode that you had of the two African-American women about your comments about Michael Brown, who got into 20 colleges. I think these conversations about race are so important. As a white person, I've done a lot of work to learn about and how to talk about recognizing my own white privilege. I read a book called Waking Up White, which was tremendously eye-opening and helpful. I wanted to recommend it to you and any listeners. So there you go. Thank you so much. I'm going to have to read that.
What's the veggie fest in
Veg
DC?
Veg fest, DC, yeah.
It sounds like just smoking a lot of weed. If I first heard it, that's how I'd expect. I would expect there was like a marijuana thing in DC. And
oh, that sounds good. Veg fest. My God. Are you a big weed smoker?
I'm not, actually.
Really?
I'm not.
No, I know. You're like I know.
I'm a good boy. I'm also like, you know, I don't know why we're throwing people in jail for smoking.
Oh, good. See, that's another reason I would vote for you. It's so crazy. Why is weed at all illegal? Like, it's so nuts.
Like, in New York City, they just passed a thing where they're going to stop prosecuting people for smoking weed in public.
Good. And it's so fucking
bananas.
Here's
what I'm saying. Are we going to, like, release all the people that we threw in jail when it was illegal?
Yes, like, we should.
Why
Great
should we
point.
Have people in jail for doing something that's legal now?
Oh, my God. You
Makes
know what?
Wonder.
I like you so
Makes
much.
You
I think you're great. I think you really are the future. You know, I want to be doing like this Howard Stern show where people are like getting naked and having exorcisms. But seriously, when you are like president, will you still come on? You probably won't.
I will only do it if you are not drinking breast milk or having exorcisms in here.
All right. We'll send your staff like the content before. But I really
we'll
think you're exciting. And by the way, do you think Trump is going to run for re-election, or will you come back on here in another year or so and tell us who we should be voting for?
Oh, he's running for re-election, for sure. And I'm just saying, and I'm not saying one way or the other, but if things keep going the way they're going now, he's going to win again. I mean,
oh my God, don't even say
no,
it.
No, I mean, I think the media is doing nothing to
right, they just focus on
him. And the more they focus on him, the more it makes his supporters be, you know,
energized, tell their neighbors.
And I think people get tired of and also not to get into politics at the end, but
oh no, I love it. Do you want to end the show with chanting "Lock her up," or how do you feel like we should
end? No, I never chant "Lock her up."
That's
the record.
I'm just kidding. I know. I know.
We had like a 30-minute non-political span, then I just like reverted back to it. We're like, no, abort, 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 get out.
No, I love it. I love to hear your thoughts because you work in it. And like I said, from the moment I met you, I thought you were very reasonable. And I think, you know, I don't know how we kind of got on this path of like, but I think it's generational. I really do. I think it's generational. I think you have an older generation in this country that, you know, whatever. I don't know if it's nostalgia or if it's fear, but they do not want to see a racially diverse America that's young and, like you said, liberal on social issues.
And just to my 30-second closing.
Yeah,
piece,
of course, please. We can talk for like 2 hours.
When it comes to Trump, I was not initially supportive.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, and so I don't consider myself a Trump advocate. I consider myself a conservative principles advocate. So if he does something that falls into the ideology that I adhere to, I'm going to support him. I'm going to cheer him on. I'm going to say, hey, you did a great job on this. I think his tax reform bill was great. I think it was good. I supported him on it. If he does things that I think are positive, I'm going to cheer him on as an advocate. If he does things that don't fall in line there, I'm going to call him out. I think I have a duty to do that. I'm going to – if you know, his response to Charlottesville was horrible, so I called him out on it. I thought the way that he's handled some of the immigration stuff being a little – unreasonable, call it out on it. But I do think that we need more people that are not to say, oh, here's how to do it. But I think as Americans, we should not just form our opinions based on who is putting forward the ideas. Form your own opinions, you know, gather different sides, form your own opinion.
I love that. But
support
you know
people that support it and then oppose them when they do. Be consistent.
You know what drives me nuts, though, like what you realize as an adult, though, is like doing your own research is so fucking time consuming. And that's why, like, I don't blame Americans because it's hard. Like,
it's hard.
If you live in a rural part of this country, you're just trying to live paycheck to paycheck. You have two or three kids, like you have mental struggles, life struggles, you know, and then it's like to try to go and do your own research about political parties.
You don't know who to trust.
It's really, really, really hard.
It is,
yeah, it's really hard. But that's why I like people like you, because like I like to set it and forget it. Like, so I would trust you to make good decisions. Yeah.
I'll take it. This is,
it was
this
like, and I watched Obama's the final year, so you don't watch like Netflix anymore, but that was so good too. I was like, you know what? For whatever you think of Obama, like that team seemed like really competent. They seemed competent. They seemed, I would trust them. Like they seemed like they had people's, they were trying, you know, to make the world a better place. But it's, okay, what? You,
no, I'm, you know.
You're not a fan?
Not, like, a, not an Obama fan, personally, but.
Really?
No, I think, there are a few things that I support him on. I think he was a great father. I think he was a great example of.
That's like the one, a great father.
No, I think he's a great example of like. I think he has.
That's like me. He would be like saying about my podcast. Well, she shows up on time. Like
no,
what?
I'm saying there are things as a conservative that I look at him and I think we should try to emulate. I think
oh my
he
God,
was.
You cracked me up.
I think he had integrity in many ways. But I think that he
policy-wise?
Yeah, policy-wise. And I also think he did a lot to divide the country. And then he pulled back and was like, oh, why is everything getting so divisive? Even though I think he did play
people against each other. Okay, I do want, you got to come back though, because I want to talk to you all about Russia. I'm very nervous.
It
I do
happen.
Think
you
that,
are like the most concerned about Russia of anyone I've ever met.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know why, but I've just been hearing a lot lately. And it seems like they're trying to disrupt us through social media. Yeah. And because I truly believe, like, we are, this is the greatest country of all time, ever. I'm very patriotic.
America.
I love America so much. I love Americans. I love that you can go to any part of this country, like, and if you have a decent personality, like, people open their doors. And Americans are the most generous human beings you'll ever meet.
Like, we give more to charity per capita than any country in history.
And it happens in every neighborhood in this country. Like, your kid has cancer. Everybody in America fucking rally. Like, it's just so, I get so moved by how patriotic we are. But I do feel like we are so great that we have a lot of people that don't want to see us continue to be great. And I feel like Vladimir Putin is one of them.
Oh, I'm Putin is a
so
thug. He's a thug.
I know.
I'm interested.
I don't know what you do to, like, defeat that.
He's a murderer and he's an authoritarian. I don't know. I personally am not worried on a daily basis about being infiltrated by Russia.
Okay, well, maybe I'll.
They did make an effort, though, and you can't deny that. They did try to play a role in things. So I'll come back on anytime you want me to talk about all this.
Okay, oh my God. All right.
Just not with an exercise. Or breast milk.
Okay, that one we'll skip. We're going to have a dating show. We're going to have, like, a bunch of conservative women in here and see, like, what you think.
And they don't have to just be conservative. I'm just saying there are some issues
for me. How are you going to be like someone with liberal? There's no way.
Maybe a good libertarian woman out there.
Libertarian.
Conservatarian.
Yeah, that's what you need. All right, the iPad died, so you guys got to play us out with music. And, you know, like, we have no music. Anyway, Kevin Phillips, you're amazing. Where do people find you? Where do people follow you? You are great. I really do. I think, and you're very, comedy-wise, you're really good. Your campus reform videos I like. Sometimes then I feel like you're bamboozling people. That irritates me. So why don't you come interview me?
Let's do it.
Okay,
I
want to be on one of the videos.
You guys can't see, but Sarah, you may not be able to see if the, I don't know the camera quality, but Sarah has a single tear that's rolling down her eye right now. I'm taking it as A, she's laughing herself to death. B, she's sad the interview's coming to an end.
All of the above.
C, I'm taking that as an invitation back.
When can I be on campus reform? I want to go out with you.
Woman on the Street videos.
Yes.
I see you doing the DC
Lotto
stuff.
I know, and I'm well versed. Like, let's do one.
A joint video.
Let's do a joint one where we just go rogue.
Let's find a topic. Summertime is a little bit of downtime because no one's on campus.
It sounds like you're giving me the runaround of your schedule.
If I was giving you the runaround, you would not know I was giving you the runaround. I would be much smoother about giving you the runaround.
Okay.
You would look
okay.
up and I would be gone.
Okay.
Well, let's figure something out.
All right, yeah, seriously. I want to go. Because I want to debate these people.
Well, most of them
you seem
probably
to find the
you.
Dumbest ones. I'm like, okay, what? We're going to find some smart people.
For the record, we end up, a lot of our videos, I won't publish them if the findings are inconclusive.
Really?
Yeah. So if I have an idea about a video and I think I have a feeling that students will go this way or the other, and I go out and start filming and it's like 50-50 split, I'm not going to edit out 50% of people and then publish the other 50% and say, hey, here's what these students thought. I'll just trash the video and go film the next week.
Okay.
There's I've never had to take a video down because I have never selectively edited anyone. If I was selectively editing people, they would be knocking on my door saying, hey, take this video down.
Oh, yeah. Or, now this would be all over you.
Yeah. I've never had to take a video down. I'm very proud of that.
Don't worry.
I can't wait
till you make Occupy Democrats again. It'll be a race between us.
I'm in.
I'm not.
It'll be a race.
Please, I say way dumber things. I'm concerned. I'll be on there next week for... I talk so much shit. I tell people this all the time. I talk so much shit about people. I love gossip. It's terrible. Like my favorite pastime.
Yeah, especially with you and Paul, with how much
we talk so
how much Paul does the gossip too.
We do. All we do. Yeah.
And if any listeners out there have access to a private jet, we were just saying how jealous we were of Paul Horton for getting to ride around.
I can't believe.
Jet.
I know.
So if anyone wants to lend the services of a PJ.
Yes. Yeah.
We'll go to.
Let's do a campus reform video on a private jet. How
Kirk's,
bougie is that?
We'll do a hey phrase from Turks and Caicos.
All right. No problem. We're in. Yeah. Okay, you guys. Bye, everybody. Be sure to follow Cabot Phillips. He is amazing. Thank you so much for being honest and just so cool and great on this. And I'm excited to watch your career in life because I think you're really great. So we'll see you soon. Thanks. Bye, guys. Bye, everybody.
Woo! Bye, everybody. Song again.